Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. It is I, your host, Danny. I returned from New Orleans. I was going to try to do a silly accent. Don't do that, Danny. Just say New Orleans. New Orleans, Louisiana, down there in a buck fucking bayou, okay? Hope you guys have had a good week. I went down to New Orleans last weekend to open for Giulio Gallerotti, my good buddy, co-host of Oops, the podcast. They now have 5 million downloads, just shy of my 10 million. Oh, this guy, he's something. Is this too loud? Maybe I should turn this down just a fucking smidge, kid. Whoop, that was too loud. Okay, there we go. Anyway, yeah, dude, a lot of fun things have happened since the last occurrence that has happened, which would be the podcast a week ago with Tom McCaffrey. Dude, Tom McCaffrey, what a guy. He did my Black Cat show last Friday, and oh my God, man, he's so funny. The jokes that he has written, I mean, like, when he's telling his jokes, I'm laughing so hard, and I try to remember, like, one word from the joke so that I can remember it later and tell it to myself just so I can make myself laugh again later. But that guy's a fucking genius. And I was talking to him about his approach. He's got a couple albums out on iTunes if you want to hear his stuff, if you haven't heard it before. But he oftentimes starts off his set by kind of giving the audience a cold shoulder a little bit, like, oh, cool, you guys seem glad I'm here. Like that kind of thing. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, as soon as I get on stage, I'm like, oh my God, I hope these people like me. I'm desperate to pull them in. Please laugh at my words. If there's silence, I won't know what to do with myself. And Tom's just like, I'm going to push you away for a minute, and then I'm going to, like, reel you the fuck back in. So it's fucking cool. Anyways, yeah, I went down to New Orleans last weekend. So Julio's like, you know, I like to go to New Orleans. I'm like, just give me the Coops. I'll have some fucking gumbo. It's just a cool little restaurant down by near Cafe Du Monde. You sit at the bar. It's just such a nice little place. Just give me the Coops, man. I loved it. I flew down like early in the morning, which is tough, you know, to fly in the morning. Fuck, I hate it. But it's fine. Then I got there. I brought my little weed vape. I sat at the bar. I was waiting for Giulio to arrive. He was on a later flight. So I was toking my little weed vape, talking to the bartender, eating some gumbo, checking my phone and stuff. It was just like a nice moment, you know? You know when you like work out, you make yourself work out all week. You're like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, workout. One drink per night, nothing crazy. Don't go crazy. Be responsible. And then Friday, during the day, you're just like, all right, let's fucking do something destructive. Like, I always wake up on Friday, like, too early because my body's like, all right, you're taking good care of us. We're going to pop awake earlier than usual. I'm like, fuck, maybe I should bludgeon you with booze. Dude, last weekend, I don't know what the fuck got into me, but I went out. We did Black Cat. By the way, Black Cat, every Friday night, 172 Rivington, 9 o'clock. The shows have been fucking killer lately. The comics that are on it are fucking awesome. The crowds are fun. They're young and cool. It's fucking great. So then I go to a bar with some of the people, the audience members. And, you know, they were like, it was like four girls and me. And I'm like, ah, fuck, it's just too many. You know, it, like, if you're a one guy and you're out with like three to four girls, like, it's definitely fun. But like, you're not going to like, you know, oh, I'm just going to, you know, me and this one girl will just go off and have our separate, like, little side date. No. Girls are not going to let their girlfriend scooch off with your dumb, bald, 47-year-old ass. They're all going out of there together. Okay, Palmer? So then I went home, and then I got this text from this girl. I think it was, like, 3 in the morning. She's like, hey, Danny, you want to come to this party in Brooklyn? And I'm like, wait, how do we know each other again? She's like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. I meant to text this to a different Danny. I was like, oh, that's okay. And she goes, no, you should still come. And I was like, I don't want to come to this party. You didn't even mean to invite, you know, me. Like, I no harm, no like offense taken, but it seems weird. She's like, no, you should go. It's like 15 people. It's good vibes. And like, she kept saying, like, you should come. I'm like, what? I mean, should I do it? So I checked Lyft and it was like $23 to go to Brooklyn. I'm like, you know what? This could make for a good story. And then I was still reluctant because I hate going into social. I don't know about you, but I hate to go into social situations where I don't know anybody. I mean, I guess most people do. But I was like, fuck, dude, do I really want to fucking do this, bro? So then I was like, well, send me a video of where you're at so I can see what it's like. Immediately sends me a video. Looks like a nice place. People are having fun. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I just did it. I just went to this party. I was the other Danny. I barely knew this girl. I met her a couple years ago at a party for Pride in New York, apparently. I don't even remember. And then the real Danny showed up. He was nice. Talked to that dude for a while. Hung out with some people. I went out. I bought a 12-pack of White Claw to contribute something to the party. So they didn't think, like, who's this guy showing up at 3 in the morning, this bald dude that didn't bring anything? You know, like, I didn't want to be, like, have people at the party be wary of me. So I bought some White Claws as a token peace offering. I mean, I wouldn't say I had like a 10 out of 10 time. I probably had like a 5 or 6 out of 10 time. But, you know, at least I fucking did something different. It's fun to talk about now. So, I don't know. Every now and then, maybe do something like that. But then I got home and I was like, dude, was that really worth it, Danny? Was that really fucking worth it? You fucking chewed. My friend Haley always gives me such nice feedback in the pod. She loved when I talked about the flight attendant article. This flight attendant gave advice about how to be comfortable flying. It really did help me, you know. She said that she loves to go to work as a flight attendant because the scariest part of her day is commuting to work, and these cars are basically missiles flying around you. Then you get in the plane, you go up in the sky, and it's like peaceful, and there's clouds and stuff. It's fucking nice, dude. I'm like, yeah, I think you're right about that. I was talking about the benefits of a corporate job. I think a lot of people disparage corporate work if they're in comedy, and maybe they should, but I don't know. I think you can kind of blend a balance of both, I say, as I sit in my apartment on a Tuesday night without a spot to do. Anywho. So, yeah, in New Orleans, Julia wanted to go to this park. What the fuck was the name of this park? Lafitte or something? I think it was Lafitte, like the same name as that, as the bar. I think it was Lafitte. You got to go over that famous bridge, and then you're in another part of New Orleans. First of all, I didn't even know that. I'm too dumb. I thought New Orleans was just like the French Quarter, Central Business District, like Lower Ninth Ward. I just didn't understand where things were. If you go over that bridge, that's still New Orleans. I was like, oh, sick, dude. We're still in New Orleans. So we go to this park, and there's like a trail. So we go to the little visitor center. It's always weird when you go to like National Park visitor centers. It always smells kind of musty. There's like t-shirts on sale from like, you know, the mid-90s. It's like, what's going on? There's like one, what do you call those things where you sell vending machines? Like one vending machine with just Dasani waters and maybe like one peanut M&M thing in it. And you're like, dude, this is not I want more resources. I don't want just weird books about swamps. You know what I mean? So then we just go on this trail. And I thought it was just a walking trail. I mean, I know we're in New Orleans, there's swamps, but I thought it was just like a trail in the woods. No, this fucking trail was through a swamp. And it was on this wooden boardwalk that was maybe 6 inches above the water of the swamp. And then once you start walking down this path, at some point you turn around and there's you can't see the road or the visitor center. You're just in a swamp. And guess what's protecting you from anything in the water that might come out and eat you? Nothing. Nothing. And there's not even a sign. Like, clearly there's alligators in a swamp in fucking New Orleans, and they didn't even warn you or anything. And then I peed in the water at one point. I was like, dude, is this alligator going to kill me? Like, what's that commotion in the water? Oh, let me just kill this man. So I was fucking... It's just crazy that you can do that. That they just like, oh, see, we'll see how it goes, you know? So we go back to the visitor's center, and I ask this park ranger, I'm like, clearly there's alligators in that water, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, has anything bad ever happened? And he goes, we've only had one incident in 20 years. I'm like, well, what was the incident? I'm not so much interested in the 19.995 years of peace and tranquility. Very much interested in the incident. So the incident was, this high school girl was on a field trip, and she had a cup of water that she dipped down into the water and trying to get into the silt or the mud to take a water sample and a soil sample. Unbeknownst to her, there was an alligator that was a mom alligator that had its babies right there, and the alligator reached out and bit her hand, and she had to have multiple reconstructive surgeries on her hand. I mean, thank God the alligator didn't pull her into the water, and then she just died in front of her friends being eaten by an alligator. That would suck. But, dude, I just can't believe that, I don't know, just like one incident in 20 years. What was the incident? Oh, just something completely horrific. Also, if you're the high school field trip leader, don't advise your students to dip their hands into a swamp. Are you kidding me? Alligators are opportunistic feeders. If something is right on the fucking bank, like that 96-year-old lady in South Carolina. She was like weeding by at the edge of a lake in a golf community. Dude, don't do that. Don't fuck the weeds by the edge of the pond in golf communities. They're fine. Just let those weeds go, dude. Don't worry about the weeds. And then she like fell into the water and got eaten by an alligator. Dude, you live for 96 years. Maybe she wasn't exactly 96, something like that. You live for that long and then your swan song of the world is just getting eaten by an alligator. Oh, that's great fun. What a nice time that is. Anyways, when we took off to leave New Orleans, there were these clouds that were like, we flew out over the Mississippi River, which is windy, you know, it's like windy and stuff, dude. And there were these clouds that were, it looked like they were a boat on the river, except above the river, because they were on the path of the river. And I was like, dude, is that like science shit right there? Like, how did that even happen? How do the clouds know to follow the path of the river? I would think that the water creates some kind of updraft and it steers the clouds. Anyways, that was beautiful. That was New Orleans. Then Friday night, we went out. Our friend Zach Mitchell was there too. We went out to this bar, you know, and they had like 11. There were 11 like wedding parties, or like, I don't know what you call it. Yeah, I guess like brides and grooms are getting married soon. And they had this like joint party where all the brides and all the grooms were up on this stage. And there was a DJ kind of commentating what was happening to the crowd. And then he facilitated a dance party where the brides and grooms had to dance with another partner, like not their husband or not their wife or fiance or whatever, but with somebody else's. And then they would play music and then the crowd like judged the dancing. And some of the like husbands and wives were like grinding another husbands and wives in a very provocative manner. I didn't like it a bit. Just kidding. It was cool. It was neat. It was pretty neat, you guys. You guys like things that are neat? We also went to, I guess I already talked about flying out of Louisiana, so I guess it's too late for this story, but whatever. If you've been in New Orleans, you've been in Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop. This is not interesting to you, but dude, that place, it's the oldest bar in North America. It was built between, and it's on Bourbon Street. It was built between 1722 and 1732 by Nicholas Tews. It is reputed to be the oldest structure used as a bar in the United States. Isn't that crazy? 1722? People were boozing in the United States before it was the United States, long before the Louisiana Purchase. That's fucking crazy, dude. Then me and Julia were walking around the swamp, and there's so many like plant species, right? It's like so many different types of plants. I mean, how many fucking plant and animal species are there, I wonder? I looked it up. There's 7.77 million species of animals, of which 953,434 have been described and cataloged. For plants, what do you think about plants? Do you think there's more or less species of plants? Far less. Only 298,000 species of plants, but of those, 215,644 have been described in catalogs. So there's way more species of animals, but a much larger percentage of the plants have been cataloged. Is that interesting information? I feel like it is. Okay. You know what? How would I fucking know what you think is funny? Funny? I mean, interesting. Leave me alone. Leave me alone, you guys. Do you guys know about this phrase called quiet quitting? It's like this new term. There was a Wall Street Journal article in August about it, and also in The Guardian. The title of The Guardian's article about this was Quiet Quitting, Why Doing the Bare Minimum at Work Has Gone Global. So the term was defined and redefined. For some, it was mentally checking out from work. For others, it became about not accepting additional work without additional pay. So I don't know. It's kind of an interesting concept. I mean, it's like, but to me, it just kind of sounds like sucky. It just sounds like it would be boring for the person that's quiet quitting. I guess if you have a shitty job and you hate it, then it makes sense. But like, you know, what if you're a nurse or a firefighter or I don't know, or a teacher? Like, don't quiet quit, because then the people that you're doing the work for will be underserved and it's not going to help their lives, you know? It just reminds me, I'm sure there are a million circumstances where it makes sense to quiet quit, but it just reminds me when I was in high school, my first job was at Pizza Hut. And like the first day there, my coworkers and I were like on the cook table, and there were times when the manager of the restaurant couldn't see us. And whenever the manager of the restaurant couldn't see us, we'd be like, dude, don't do any work. We can just stand here and get paid $4.25 an hour and not do any work. I'm like, oh, sick, dude. I can't believe we're scamming the man like this. And that was interesting, and that was fun for about 20 minutes. And I was like, this is fucking boring, dude. I want to work. I don't want to quiet quit. I want to work. I want to do something. It's boring. I need to be stimulated. Okay, not sure if that was really a conclusion to what I was talking about, but that story had a point, but here we are. Yeah, by the way, last thing about New Orleans, if you ever go, go to Comedy House New Orleans. That's where we did shows on Saturday night. We did two shows and they're fucking awesome. The second show was packed and there was this, the first two rows was like all dudes. I guess, I don't know if it was a bachelor party or something. And I got up on stage and I was like, oh my God. I'm like, can we just cycle through another crowd to get more like more girls up front? I don't want just like a sea of dudes up front, man. But it was great, dude. Julio killed. It was just very cool. I don't know. That's the end of that story. Sorry. I'm feeling insecure about my stories right now, you guys. Okay. This completes my recap of my New Orleans trip. Dude, New Orleans is sick. If you haven't been, you should go. It's fucking great. You know, if you're getting tired of like the dirt and grime on Bourbon Street, just go one street over to Royal. Royal's beautiful. It's fine. You'll enjoy it.
Good.
Okay. I'll leave you with this quote. I thought this was nice. I get this newsletter. I've mentioned it on here before, the Marginalian. It's cool. They send you this like newsletter on Sundays and it's like deep stuff about like life and poetry and meaning and stuff like that. And then there's also one on Wednesday that's like older archive stuff, but it's all the same shit, you know? Doesn't matter how old the fucking material was because it's all like timeless shit about like poetry and shit like that, dude. So this is a quote that I wrote down from this newsletter, which is lit, but I forgot to write down who wrote this quote. Whatever. I think they're dead anyways. He says, listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and the pain of it, no less than the excitement and the gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments. And life itself is grace. Pretty heavy, huh? Sometimes I read stuff like that and I'm like, I think about my friend Ricky Velez, like listening to this and being like, Danny, you're a fucking loser, bro. You're just reading quotes about smelling holiness. Dude, put this pod to rest, bro. But then, I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's really easy to get caught up in the mundane day-to-day life and like politics and bad things happening in the world and everything sucks. Fuck this. I'm just going to take antidepressants and be unhappy and sit under a blanket. But then, you know, if you broaden it out. The fathomless mystery, dude. We're part of a fathomless mystery, you guys. It's fucking sick, dude. All right. Stay tuned next week when I'll be interviewing a comic that is yet to be determined. And then the week after that will be another solo podjon. Dude, I did this fucking... My friend Corinne Fisher, I babysat her dog. She's the co-host of Guys We Fucked. She's like, Danny, you should do like a running series on Instagram where I just talk about like how to have good vibes. Like it's important to have like good lighting and stuff, you know what I mean, in your apartment and like listen to sick tunes like Dua Lipa. So I'm going to start doing that. I did one fucking post. I got like six times the engagement of any clip I've posted from this podcast. So maybe all this effort I put into this podcast would be better spent posting 1 minute captioned videos on Instagram. Who knows, dude? It's 2022. The world is our... I'm not going to finish that sentence. Thanks for listening to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I'm on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC, at Black Hat every Friday, 9 o'clock. This weekend, I'm hosting the New York Comedy Club early shows. I'm more of a matinee comedy club comic, okay? But the lineups are going to be sick all weekend long. Thanks for listening, you jerk. Are you going to come to bed and fuck me now? You got it, baby. Peace.